COP 28, frustration, skepticism, faint trace of hope. COP 28 is the upcoming UN conference on climate change. Find out why the mood leading into this global gathering is a blend of frustration, skepticism, and just a faint trace of wary hope. When the Rio Earth Summit wrapped up 30 years ago, people like me, who belong to environmental groups, saw it as a turning point. We knew the agreements reached at that gathering would be the templates for future progress. Yet even then, we had mixed feelings about the results. We felt vindicated by the environment making its way to the top of the UN's agenda, but we were also skeptical and disappointed that the participating nations hadn't gone far enough. In both senses, the Rio Summit really was a template for everything that's followed. The recurring themes in the efforts Rio spawned, like the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Agreement, have been modest success mingled with disappointing procrastination. The Rio Summit produced the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC. Every year, the UN holds a conference of that agreement's parties to review progress and plan next steps. The 28th Conference of the Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, COP28, starts next week. The 197 countries that signed the framework will be gathering in the city of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. The organizers are expecting more than 70,000 delegates to attend COP28. The political conference, called the Blue Zone, is dwarfed by the massive green zone of public gatherings and trade shows that spring up every year in host cities. Part of the disappointment and skepticism that stems from the original Rio Earth Summit is that the parties promised nothing more than to protect the climate system for the benefit of present and future generations of humankind. Nobody explained who was responsible for this noble-sounding goal, or how they'd get it done. The annual COP meetings are supposed to fill in those gaps. The UN tells us that COP meetings work out ambition and responsibilities and identify and assess climate measures. I think that means they're supposed to figure out who does what. In practical terms, the parties need to find ways to cut humanity's greenhouse gas emissions and to mitigate the harm the climate crisis is doing in terms of forest fires, floods, and droughts. The UN isn't a world government. It's an association. It reaches decisions by consensus. And if you've ever belonged to an association, you've probably experienced how frustrating and convoluted decision-making by committee can be. COP28 will be the first session in which the parties review their progress at reaching the famous Paris Agreement goals of keeping global warming below 2 degrees Celsius and ideally below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Pardon my cynicism, but that part of the program should be very brief. The truth is, after 27 of these COP gatherings, there hasn't been any progress worth mentioning. The 2023 Emissions Gap Report from the UN Environment Program, UNEP, found that unless things change drastically, our planet's temperature is headed for an increase of between 2.5 degrees Celsius and 2.9 degrees Celsius. UNEP's Executive Director, Inger Andersen, expressed the need to stop setting unwanted records on greenhouse gas emissions, global temperature highs, and extreme weather. Ms. Andersen continued, "We must instead lift the needle out of the same old groove of insufficient ambition and not enough action and start setting other records on cutting emissions, on green and just transitions, and on climate finance." Meanwhile, the World Meteorological Organization, WMO, reported in its greenhouse gas bulletin that there's no end in sight to the rising trend in global emissions. Of course, part of the problem is that keeping temperature rise below 1.5 degrees Celsius was never going to be easy. To get that done, humanity has to cut its carbon emissions by at least 42%. That's quite a challenge, because right now carbon emissions are going up, not down. Despite decades of warnings from the scientific community, thousands of pages of reports, and dozens of climate conferences, we are still heading in the wrong direction, WMO Secretary General Pateri Talas explained. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres put it this way: "The emissions gap is more like an emissions canyon, a canyon littered with broken promises, broken lives, and broken records." The Secretary General went on to say, "All of this is a failure of leadership, a betrayal of the vulnerable, and a massive missed opportunity." And he called on member states to tear out the poisoned root of the climate crisis, fossil fuels. On a positive note, like the original Earth Summit in Rio, these annual COP gatherings raise public awareness of the climate crisis. They're also the forums where milestone accords like the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Agreements originate. On the other hand, in practical terms, like that first Rio Summit itself, most of these conferences of the parties seem to end up being all talk and no action. Of course, we can always hope that COP28 will be different. There's a way in which these global gatherings, in the official blue zone, and perhaps more importantly, in the more informal green zone, matter. They're part of the new story humanity needs about our relationship with nature. The community in the green zone in particular reflects a growing global movement. More and more everyday people are working to usher in a new ecozoic era of harmonious and mutually enhancing relationships between Earth and humanity. Secretary General Guterres concluded by calling for governments to increase ambition in their national climate plans and swiftly put those plans into action. And developed countries must rebuild trust by delivering on their finance commitments. COP28 must be the place to urgently close the climate ambition gap. We always have more to learn if we dare to know.